Hey, it's Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington. Outkick the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, the Atlanta Hawks advance, but the story from that game is the Philadelphia 76ers. What a disaster. What a collapse. And we've got the great Anthony Gargano stopping by to break it all down. The very latest on Aaron Rodgers. Is it good news for the Packer fan base? We've also got some rookie quarterbacks when it comes to the next highest paid guy. There's a draft class that we're discussing, and the answer might surprise you. Plus, what's it like? What is it like being a Western PA guy dealing with Eastern PA? LeVar Arrington breaks all of that down for you. Coming up here, it's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The three-time Pro Bowler, the great LeVar Arrington. LeVar, what's happening? How the hell are we on a Monday?
Oh, man, let's go. Let's get it going, Jonas.
Listen, this is what it's about. We got to get it going. And unfortunately, you know, you got to have conversations that maybe aren't the nicest conversations in the world, especially if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan.
Yep.
I mean, that was brutal, man. That was brutal.
Well, you know, it's the NBA playoffs, and stars are made, and you know, I guess pipes are burst, and well, there's some water main breaks, some water main water damage leakage going on in Pennsylvania.
So, and here now, does that you being a Pittsburgh guy, do you kind of take delight in the fact that Philadelphia struggles like that?
Well, we don't have a basketball team in Pittsburgh, Jonas, so it's kind of like. I don't have a dog in the fight in terms of rooting against Philadelphia. I'm actually a fan of the entire state, being a guy that represented at State College, Pennsylvania, Penn State. So I don't have any beef towards Philly. I wish them well. And my wife is actually from South Jersey. So if you know about South Jersey,
you know that, right?
If you trip and fall, half of you is in South Jersey, part of you is in Philadelphia. So no hard feelings, but man, what a letdown if you're an avid fan of that team.
Yeah, that was brutal. Now here's the sick and twisted reality of sports talk radio.
Uh-oh.
The Atlanta Hawks won the game. Right, so, yes. So the Hawks are advancing, and they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And this is a team that has done it on the road. I think they're 5-2 on the road in the postseason this year. I don't think anybody really expected a lot from Atlanta in this postseason. And Trae Young turned into a superstar just based on the treatment from Madison Square Garden fans and what happened in that series. And they just got better and better and better. And I noticed a theme at the end of these games. It just seemed like Atlanta was fresh. It seemed like they were in, I don't know if they were in better shape, or maybe this was the injuries to Joel Embiid and others that were popping up, you know, at the worst possible time. But it just seemed like those games, when they were hanging in the balance, it was Atlanta that was snatching those away and not Philadelphia, which I don't know what we do with Doc Rivers and his responsibility and all that, but Atlanta gets the win. Yet, you know, most of the conversations around sports talk radio and beyond are going to be about the 76ers falling apart, LeVar. That's how this works.
Yeah, it will be, but it should be stated that the Atlanta Hawks have played at a very, very high level. Trae Young has been scrappy and has played at a high level, but he's gotten a lot of great support. I mean, Lou Williams has given them a lot of great minutes off of the bench. John Collins, he's played very, very aggressive. He's played well in his duty and his roles. He took some really, really critical charges during the course of that game, Jonas. And, you know, when you think about Capella, He's a premier big man post guy, and we're seeing some really, really cool young talent in Capella. You got my guy out in for the Phoenix Suns,
DeAndre Ayton.
Aiden, he's special.
Awesome. Yeah,
and so you're seeing a youth movement take place. Kevin, well, how you say it, Hoarder?
Herder. Yeah, Kevin Herder.
Herder.
Yeah.
I mean, did he show up yesterday or
what? Of course.
What?
Oh, he's
I mean,
awesome. Yeah.
So that's what, that you know, to me, watching this year's NBA playoffs, it really has been all about guys either coming through in the clutch or not. You saw the Utah Jazz fizzle out. You know, Steve Clarkson was doing very well with shooting and doing things that he needed to do. And Donovan Mitchell did what he needed to do, but Rudy Gobert became a liability to the Utah Jazz, which is crazy because he's the defensive player of the year. But they found holes and ways to utilize and kind of take advantage of pulling Gobert further out from the rim, right, Jonas? So
yeah.
When you think about how guys, like guys have become liabilities, if you talk about Ben Simmons didn't score any points. He went to a scoring slump, didn't score any points in the game yesterday, man. And it's like you kind of think about these big guns and these big moments. You can either become that shining star like what Devin Booker, and we mentioned how many points he had having a triple-double, and then you look at what guys are doing, like seeing Trae Young play the way that he's playing and facilitating. You're seeing young guns become stars, but you're also seeing guys where it's like, dang, you got to have an offseason of criticism towards guys like a Ben Simmons. And ultimately, you know, what happened to Gobert and the Clippers Utah Jazz series. So, I mean, there's a lot of storylines, but if I'm a 76ers fan, I am quite disappointed because this is a great year to be able to get a championship from the West.
Yep. And they missed an opportunity. And listen, you mentioned Trae Young. It wasn't like Trae Young was great yesterday. Like, I mean, he missed 18 shots.
Yeah.
He wasn't your typical go out there and dominate the game. But I never got the impression watching that game yesterday that Trae Young just couldn't have an impact. Yeah, and he just figured out a way to impact the game in other ways, whether it was facilitating, making the right play. He did, you know, one of the two out of, you know, 11 threes that he took in that game he made late that was a big one, like a 25-footer at the top. But, you know, Atlanta gets it done, and they got it done in the crunch, and the conversation, you mentioned it, is going to be about what Philadelphia couldn't do, and most notably, what Ben Simmons couldn't do. And Ben Simmons spoke with the media afterwards with some interesting comments.
Toward the end of the game, there were a few chants that were going out there asking Trey, Ben Simmons, stuff like that. Do you feel like you played your last few minutes here in Philadelphia?
I feel like we just lost game 7. That's about it.
Would you like to remain in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, I love being in Philly. You know, I love this organization. The fans are great, great people. I mean, I had a bad series. I expect that. It's Philly.
Then Doc said there's work to do and he and you need to get into the gym. What do you think the work is that needs to be done and I guess prioritized? Is it free throw shooting? Is it being more aggressive? Is it perimeter shooting? What is it in your game that you think you need to improve first?
I think all of it. You hit on all of it. I ain't shoot well from the line this series. Offensively, I wasn't there. I ain't doing enough for my teammates. There's a lot of things I need to work on.
This has been a conversation with Ben Simmons for a while now, his inability to shoot the basketball, and he just hasn't gotten better. And they talked at length about it, you know, post-game on TNT about, look, man, this discussion's been happening for a long time. Mm-hmm. Who knows, man? Maybe this could be – you get embarrassed on a big enough stage like this to where you don't have the LeBron conversation or Steph Curry to kind of drown out the noise, and now everybody's seeing your flaws. I don't know, LeVar, like maybe this is the turnaround that he needs, but as of right now, he is public enemy number one in Philadelphia. A lot of people can point to Doc Rivers and his collapses, but Ben Simmons is out on the floor, and the guy fell apart in the crunch.
You know, it's funny because, we mentioned how the Clippers adjusted and adapted and were able to strategically find a way to dismantle the Utah Jazz. Credit given Tyronn Lue. Credit given to Tyronn Lue is a direct shot towards, well, the coach of the 76ers, right? Doc Rivers, who hasn't shown the acumen to get the team to the next level. lo and behold, you get to this year, you have a pretty talented team. They've maintained being the top team in the Eastern Conference. And now he's going to come under fire based upon this. I think it would be embarrassing to have that type of a showing when you're a max contract guy, because that's what's going to come up. But what also is going to come up is, how do you coach through a max contract player and when they're playing the way that Ben Simmons is playing? Now, some would say that Doc Rivers making a bold move and a bold adjustment would have possibly led to, more success in the series. They might have been able to pull out of the series. They might have been able to have a better showing, you know, overall in the series, Jonas. But, I mean, when you think about directly as this applies to Ben Simmons, it is an indictment on what he represents, because you can't be a top player on the team. It's supposedly a 1-2 punch of him and Embiid. Embiid did his part, even though he was hobbled with that slight tear in his knee, wasn't at his best, and you could tell it played a part. But Ben Simmons has to be more in these moments. So as you look at what Ben did not do, which is what you will focus in on, and the liability that he becomes, the question is, who do you put in his place? You know, when you look at the roster for the 76ers, I mean, Tobias Harris played well and showed that he could help lead the way and be a main guy for this team, but it wasn't enough. Yeah. You know, you put Dwight Howard in to spell Embiid because of the knee. I mean, man, is it more of an indictment on how much of a small role that Dwight Howard plays in the success of a team from what he once was, when we were calling him Superman after he did his thing in the dunk contest and things like that? I mean, if you get more help from some of the other guys, then it shields and it alters what the ultimate outcomes of how we speak on people like Ben Simmons moving forward, Jonas. And I think that that's kind of where a team has to carry one another in those moments. And this 76ers team, they failed on multiple levels. They failed strategically, so that falls on Doc Rivers. They failed on being able to compete at a higher level. The game was tight all game. You're at one of the most pivotal moments in the game, and you start turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Carelessness with how you protect the ball. I mean, there are some things that we can sit and look at and say, this had absolutely nothing to do with Ben Simmons in terms of how the outcome of the game happened. But, I mean, make no mistake about it. If you give me 10 points, Jonas, if you give me 12, 13 points, if you're Ben Simmons, that's a 12, 13 or what, an 8, 9 point, 7 point, you know, 76ers win.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even come down to that. So there's so many ways to kind of wrap it up and toss it up and talk about it. And that's what happens when you lose on the largest stage for the NBA.
Yeah, it was just a rough go for the Philadelphia 76ers and their fan base. And they were throwing stuff on the court after. Like, this is how bad it was for the 76ers fan base. Even after they won the Super Bowl, you know, there were still fans that were acting out and, you know, crying and, you know, doing what they were doing with police horses and all the other stuff. And that's a conversation.
The light poles, right?
Yeah, you know, greasing up the light poles and all that stuff.
Violating light poles, yeah.
Like, I just wonder, how long do you hold on to that win for that other losses from your sports teams don't impact you? Because they were showing the crowd last night and they were looking around at each other going,
dejected.
Is this what we were raised on? Like of all the other teams in the league, like that our parents could have like passed down to us for generations to come, we got this, a team that fell apart on the big stage at home, a game 7 at home, and they basically no-showed late. And we're, like you said, turning the ball over, making mistakes. Just a rough go for Philadelphia in general last night. Terrible look.
I mean, if you think about it, there are some pretty cool options out there. You know, we're hearing about, you know, the whispers of Dame Lillard. You know, I think Dame Lillard to the Sixers would be an amazing addition. Yes. They need one more guy. They need one more guy on that team to take the next step. They're clearly not going to take it with the current roster that they have. I mean, you got some great development from some of the guys I mentioned, Tobias. He you know, you got some great talent coming through. But I just don't know after this. And you asked the question, does this impact Ben Simmons to do what he needs to do during the course of this offseason? I just don't know. I don't know. You're already a max guy. You're already considered an elite guy. Of course he's going to work on what he's going to work on. You know who this reminds me of? It's so funny because you mentioned this too. They were talking about it, the analysts on TNT. Shaq couldn't shoot. If you remember,
yeah.
Shaq couldn't shoot free throws to save his life. But why was Shaq such a force? Why was Shaq such an impact on the series? Because he played aggressive on offense and he made up for the things that he did not do well. He made up for them very well in other things that he did, playing defense, being in the spaces he needed to be in. Ben Simmons has to realize that if he can't improve his shot any more than what he can do this offseason, then whatever it is that he does so well that has led to him getting this contract that he was able to get and the reputation that goes along with it, he has to do those things at a much higher level moving forward. And he has to be dominant in doing it. If that's getting to the rim, then he better do it. If that's playing lights out defense, then he better do it. But whatever that is that has earned him the reputation that he's gotten and has made him put him in the conversations of being a main guy, he's got to start doing those things that much better, along with trying to work on his weaknesses, if he wants to maintain the trajectory that he once was on before all of these conversations that have started to really pursue him and persist on what he lacks in. He's going to have to take ownership over that, and it sounds like he did in that post-game conference.
It is LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, it is the story of all stories in the NFL. It is the story of the offseason. Do we have a little bit of a glimpse into the future? We'll have that for you next year. The latest right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
The inside info, the details from LeVar Arrington as to what really happens when you see a player fall apart on a big stage like that. I want to know stories. I want to know guys that you've seen in a pressurized situation just completely melt out. I need to know. I need to live vicariously through you, LeVar Arrington. Listen, you're the three-time Pro Bowler. This is how this works. These are responsibilities.
Jonas, you know, in all humbleness, you know, the only way you would know that in details intimately is if you've been in those situations. And unfortunately, I never got that far to be on the biggest stages when I played in the National Football League. I missed it by 1 year. You know, I went to the New York Giants in 06. I blew my Achilles tendon during the course of that season. I was done playing ball. And I had a 7-year contract with them. And within that next 6 years of me being there, if I would have kept playing, they won 2 Super Bowls. If you want to know about an epic breakdown and falling apart, well, Jesus. I would have to first start with, well, myself.
Come on now. Listen, everything worked out fine. You do fantastic work. I told you this isn't me trying to ball wash you here on the air. I told you privately when we spoke, I'm a fan of your work. Yeah, I think you do fantastic stuff. I watch you and Bucky Brooks, my radio wife on Saturdays here on Fox Sports Radio.
Bucky's a good egg.
Yeah, I see you guys give it to Marcellus and Emmanuel Acho often when I'm watching Fox Sports 1. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the support. But I will say this. I've had a lot of conversations with guys who have had to push through and endure being on large stages and it just not kind of panning out for them the way that, that they would have hoped for it to pan out. And I would say that in understanding what your role is in the team's lack of success has to ultimately be a self audit and a self understanding that your potential and what it represents to the better whole of your team is something that you have to take very, very seriously, because that's your legacy, right? That's how you'll be remembered. That's how, how do you feel about yourself? For me, I always think about my career. I could have did so much more. But the thing about it was, I didn't know what it was that I needed to do. As I got older, I started to learn and understand. And so I don't know what Ben Simmons' situation is. It sounds as though he's self-aware of the things that he's being criticized for, and rightfully so. And a true competitor will take the setbacks that are a part of their career and in moments in time of their career, and they'll find ways to prepare themselves to be better in those categories. Or like I said earlier, they will find better ways of being so much more at what their contribution is positively for the team, that it outweighs anything else. It's like we don't really focus in on the fact that Shaq couldn't make a foul shot.
No.
We really don't.
He never let it hijack him mentally. Like it never happened.
Yep. That's the key.
And that was his whole point during all this. He said, man, I don't want to hear about any of this stuff. Like, be aggressive. And he said, I think what he said yesterday on TNT was, he's all, three things are going to happen when you go to the foul line. You're going to make both, or he's all, you're going to make them. You're going to miss them, or you're going to airball them, something along those lines. And that's right. And really, like, when you just simplify it like that, what do you got to lose? It doesn't mean just because you're a poor foul shooter that all of a sudden, you're a complete full-blown liability to the team. It just means you have to figure out other ways that you can impact the game. And Shaq always impacted the game. Even when the hack of Shaq was happening, because he was so dominant, you never saw him get terrified when he went to the foul line. It was like, all right, this is what it is. This is the way it works. And look, it's easy for a lot of people on the outside to look at Ben Simmons go to the foul line, or even Giannis, and we can get into that series later on in the show, because that was a fun one to watch over the weekend in Game 7. You see these guys go to the foul line, and they struggle there. I can assure you, if you put me in the same exact spot, all of a sudden I'm playing in an arena full of fans. If I'm on the road, they're waving stuff behind the glass. And on top of that, if you're Giannis, they've got a shot clock counting down so you don't, to make sure that you're not violating the 10 seconds that you have to take the shot. Mm-hmm. I'd probably miss 75% of my shots too. I mean, so the idea that we can stand on the outside and know exactly what's going through, especially something that takes touch and a little bit of finesse, and you can't just muscle it in there like a lot of guys or athletes would like to do, man, I would fall apart. Listen, I played beer pong. I could tell you there were multiple times where we'd be down to the final cup and my hand was shaking. And
I'm thinking, so, like, glad you said that, bro.
It's terrible.
I'm so glad you brought up beer pong, because here's the funny thing. It sounds like talking to someone as well. This is something that we can all relate to. That anxiety of meeting somebody, and I can't even imagine how it is meeting people, with technology these days. But, all the things that you use to explain Ben Simmons and being on the free throw line and what you feel, that's like kind of shooting your shot with game. You know what I mean? Like, if you shoot your shot, like for me, I had a great opening line. It was a two-part series, when I was a guy that was out there single in the world. And I knew it was because, hey, look, for every all pretty guy and dudes that, get the attention and don't have to do much work, but they still have to figure out how to live in that, I don't have to have a strong opening because I am good looking or attractive, da da da, this and that. See, I feel like I'm sexy, Jonas. I'm not pretty. I'm not going to win a pretty boy. Like, I know you do the show with Brady. Like, Brady's going to win pretty boy contest, right?
Me? Yeah.
LeVar's going to win sexy dude contest. It's like, I'm the one that has to have my hat on correctly. I got to have my eyes looking the right way, you know, make sure that I have like some chapstick on so my lips aren't like looking real crusty or anything like that, right?
You have to.
I got
to
make sure that my approach has that finesse. I got, you know, and then I come up, I hit him with this, Jonas. I say, you know what? How beautiful are you? I'm not hitting on you, but I just think you're a beautiful person. Like, I could just tell. Have a good night, right?
And now, oh, and then you just leave it there.
You had to leave it there. If it stays away, then you got to let it stay there. But if it percolates, if it marinates and something bubbles up and you can see that opportunity, well, then now you got to have the finesse of the part B. Well, you know what? I did say that you're good looking and this, that, and the other. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to say, wow, would I have the opportunity to kind of, you know, get to know you away from here? You know,
yeah,
maybe we talk, you know, maybe we go hang out, you know, have some popcorn or, you know, a slow walk in the park, whatever it may be. Watch boats go by. Listen to the tugboat tug and choo choo, you know, whatever it may be. Right.
Right.
You got to figure out where you fit in. Otherwise, you will continue to strike out. And that's going to be what Ben Simmons has to figure out. But it's also going to have to be what Doc Rivers has to figure out as well moving forward if this 76ers team is not to kind of implode as a team, not just what Ben Simmons, you know, what his performance was.
See, if I was one of your buddies back in the day, I would have told you, hey, man, that's all a great strategy if you're trying to meet someone. Why don't you simplify it and try this?
Okay.
Hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Three-time Pro Bowler. That's my name. You can just go ahead and call me that, and then we just move right along to this. I feel like we fast track it that way. You know, this, but, get right to the most important thing, which is you're a three-time Pro Bowler.
I'm successful.
And that's the confidence. Yes,
I'm successful.
100%.
I don't know, man. I just never leaned on the laurels of those things. You know, I always felt a little insecure. You know, if you would have hyped me like that, Jonas, I would have appreciated you. I'd have been like, you know what? You're a dope hype man because you're telling me, like, look, man, you're the dude. And somebody needs to tell Ben Simmons, look, man, you're the dude, right? So even though you were sending me into a for sure losing situation because I would have totally muffed it up, I'd have sounded like arrogant and self-absorbed, and they would have looked at me and they'd been like, ew, like what? Like three-time Pro Bowler? Like, hello, do you see how beautiful I am? I could get a five-time Pro Bowler. You don't have enough on your resume. You know, but the bottom line is, right, is that, you know, what makes you a good hype man is that you would have had me pumped up, Jonas, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of it is, and you're so correct on this, is even if you miss, I'm confident and I feel good about still being aggressive, shooting the ball, going to the free throw line, playing defense, doing the things that I do, being a presence on the court. That's the point of it, is the mentality of it, the mindset of it. Even though I shot my shot and got shot down, you know, if you had me in the right mindset, and this goes back to Doc Rivers, this goes back to the culture of the team and the leadership of the team, somebody needed to be hype man in Ben Simmons and having Ben Simmons in the head, like, you know what? F these free throws. I'm a figure out how to start making these free throws, and I'm going to work on these free throws. But, fellas, we're going to overcome these free throw situations that we're in right now. You know why? Because we're going to play so hard that it's not even going to come down to Ben Simmons being on the free throw line and me not being able to make a free throw that leads to us losing this game. Like, we're going to overcome that. We're going to be bigger than this. We're going to be better than that. And I'm going to do my part to get myself together to make more shots in these situations. That's how it should have played out. It did not play out that way, and it leaves room for questioning as to why that did not happen with a team that has so much talent and had such a seemingly great opportunity to be able to go to the next steps and possibly win it all.
You mentioned this opportunity with all the injuries. Mm. I actually, when Brooklyn started suffering the injuries, when Kyrie Irving had his injury and James Harden, all of a sudden the hamstring issue popped up. And then on top of that, the Lakers got eliminated. And you could say, you know, partly because of the injuries. I thought if I was one of these other teams around the NBA – in which you always hear, well, it's the best team, the team with the most superstars. all of a sudden, I would be completely rejuvenated. I'd be looking around like, this is our chance, man. Like, this is our chance in a top-heavy league where we had heard all year long it was going to be Brooklyn or the Lakers or one of those two teams. I mean, if I was Milwaukee, if I was Phoenix, one of these other teams, this is a real opportunity to be an NBA champion, a la what Toronto was able to do, capitalizing on injuries against Golden State. So if you're Philadelphia and you've got the talent that you've got and you're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and the fact that Utah got eliminated meant Philadelphia, like, they were the top seed in the East, so anybody would have had to go through them, and the fact that they let it slip through their hands and they did it at home, that's the part they got to be kicking themselves for.
Yeah, you got to believe that that's how they're feeling, and I think we heard Joel Embiid say that in his presser, like, we thought this was our year. And they did say, and he did make mention of the fact that of what you just said. So it's interesting because you look at a team like the Philadelphia 76ers and you say to yourself, wow, here is a great opportunity for a city that is rich in tradition and sports culture. I mean, come on, man, like Rocky Balboa. I mean, let's be real here. I mean, that's one. You got Rocky. You got Allen Iverson. You got Dr. J. You know, you got
Nick Foles. You got some,
you got
all
Nick
the
Foles. Come on, nah, don't. Let's not do that. I am being sarcastic right now too. But here's the funny thing about this though. But when you look at this Phoenix Suns team, you could ultimately say that what we're saying about this 76ers team, you're seeing the entire total antithesis of it take place with the Suns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You got CP3 out. That's the equivalent of Kyrie Irving going out of the game, right? And then we're sitting there and we're like, okay, James Harden, he isn't all the way healthy. So he's hobbled, but he comes back out. And they're not able to get it done. Well, CP3's in protocol, and he's out. And you go into game one with the Clippers, who are hot. They're feeling good. They had a great showing to close out the series and get past Utah. And lo and behold, they run into Devin Booker. I mean, a triple-double. The dude is showing that he is a goon. Let me tell you something. I blanked on him a little early. Don't eat my lunch. It is 3:41 in the morning. But DeAndre Ayton, he is a goon, bro. And you know what's interesting about this is now you're seeing that collective belief like we were talking about with Ben Simmons, lift him up, prop him up, getting pumped up. You got guys like DeAndre that is doing what he's doing, but then Michael Bridges, how about how he showed up? You know, Joe Crowder, how he's playing with so much energy, and Cameron Payne. You have all of these role players who have stepped up and jumped up and are playing at a high level with confidence and belief. Jonas, that's what you need to be seeing coming from a team like the 76ers in these moments, and that's what we didn't see, and that's what we are seeing from the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, it's a bummer for Philadelphia, but he is LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, it is the NFL story of the offseason, and we have the very latest we'll get for you next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
So, LeVar Arrington, the story of the NFL offseason is Aaron Rodgers and the saga in Green Bay. We do have the latest. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Let's buckle up.
He renewed his membership at Green Bay Country Club. All right. So with that, there's some people that look at that as a clue into the future. That, according to the Score in Wisconsin, that Aaron Rodgers, who is a member at Green Bay Country Club, he has renewed his membership for the rest of the year. So, LeVar, I think that means that Aaron Rodgers is coming back and all is well with the Green Bay Packers. We're good here. No more bad blood with the organization. No more animosity. I mean, he's back swinging the clubs at Green Bay Country Club. Here we go.
You know, if you're going to break up with someone, you don't make it obvious.
Right.
You keep people on their toes. You keep them guessing. You know, they always said, make sure you break up with them either in a neutral setting or at their place. And people, well, why would you do that? Because you don't want to break up with them at your place. Well, why is that? Because they'll tear your home up, right? So it's kind of like for me when I listen to the reports of him doing this. And, you know, we heard the same reports leading up to Tom Brady's eventual departure from Boston. He put his home on the market. So it's kind of like, okay, well, handwriting is definitely all the way on the wall. He's not planning on being here. But what if he was putting up his home on the market to maybe downsize? Maybe he wanted to live in a different part of you know, Connecticut or Boston or whatever it may be where he was at, right? Maybe he wanted just some new digs. We don't even know what the end result of that was ever. We just said, okay, he's putting his home up, so Tom Brady has probably played his last season. Now, while people were correct, you still don't necessarily know. And I think right. that's the same scenario that we got going on here. I mean, does it really say that he's going to stay?
No, of course.
You know what
not.
I mean?
Yeah,
like, is it like there's no way to say, okay, well, he's renewed. He's going to be at the country club, da da da. Well, you know what? Maybe he renewed it because he has friends that uses his pass to go to the country club. I mean, you know, I'm one of those guys. I love having friends that have things. I gotta be honest. I'm very frugal. You know what I mean? So I'm not the one that has those, you know, have those memberships, Jonas. So if you have a membership, you know what I'm gonna say? If I'm in your neck of the woods, I'm gonna say, hey, Jonas, hey, can I use your membership? Oh,
yeah.
Thanks, man.
You go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's amenities. You know, it's the opportunity, the experiences. So yeah. I wouldn't read too deep into it.
Listen, I know, and I say that being sarcastic because people are going to run with this story. That's how this is going if they haven't already. But, you know, to your point, I would rather have a good friend who owns a boat than own one myself.
Yeah, man. Like, those are the best boats to use.
Yes. I don't want to have to do the cleanup. I don't want any part of that crap. So, like, yeah. For 4th of July, you
even
know, if you're
babies,
out and about,
Jonas,
yeah,
even just, with you know, babies, you know, oh, what a beautiful baby, so cute, love the smell. Baby starts crying. Here you go. No, hey,
right.
Take your baby back. Oh, the baby needs to be changed. Take your baby back.
I think my phone's ringing in the other room. I'll be back, and then you just
even
dip out
puppies.
As well,
how about puppies? I mean, I hear you're a puppy guy, man. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
Yeah, you got to
take your puppy back. You know, he did over there. Yeah, Dad, we got to get him out of here. Yeah.
You got to be careful. So, listen, the Aaron Rodgers saga will continue to march on, but eventually they're going to have to come to some sort of a conclusion as to whether or not he's playing this year. Best guess before the end of the hour is Aaron Rodgers under center for the Packers next season.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see them parting ways with him, and I think ultimately he's just going to have to get over the fact that you know, they drafted a quarterback and maybe did some things he didn't like.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes, man.
Get
That's
over
the way it.
Goes.
Right. He is LeVar Arrington. Hey. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. An NFL QB about to get paid. We'll have the latest right here on FSR.